Good afternoon, Tampa Bay and around the world. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are glad you are joining us today. It's always great to be able to be live in the studio with you every single week. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister back. I was on vacation last Sunday afternoon. So Pastor Jim, my associate, filled in, and he always does a wonderful job. Nathan and Betty, it was a great show. If you didn't hear it, you can check it out on our website, www.bohmglobal.com. We're looking forward to a great show today. It's always fun to be able to share the Word of God with you from this place here in this wonderful radio station in Clearwater, 1340 AM. And I'm kind of privileged because I'm sitting behind the board in here, and I've been learning to engineer, and that's just really fun. Unless you're running late and you've hit every red light that there was from Palm Harbor here. And I've got a couple guests in the control room with me today, and I think they thought I wasn't going to show up. I mean, it was run. Every red light between Palm Harbor and Clearwater, I got them. Anyway, we're here, and we are going to have a great show today. We are on a topic that I've been teaching for the last couple weeks, My Sheep Hear My Voice, and it is all about hearing the voice of God correctly. There are so many voices that come into our lives that affect us and influences that we each have that can really change what we think God is saying to us. Sometimes it's not God at all, and we're going to really be talking about some of those influences today that keep us from hearing from God correctly. Why do we need to hear from God? We're going to talk about that. How do we do it? What's it all about? We're going to answer a lot of questions on this show today. This show is coming to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry. We've been around for almost 13 years, just a couple weeks, and we will hit our 13-year anniversary. Amazing, amazing. We began in 2001 in September the 29th in my living room, and that was a long time ago, and God has blessed us. We've been through a lot through the years, but a whole lot of blessing. A whole lot of times of just amazing, wonderful moves of God in our services and in our radio shows. I was telling a friend of mine today, and it's almost impossible to believe, but the Sunday before Thanksgiving coming up, which will be November the 21st, I believe, November 21, that Sunday, one of my friends is going to check that calendar, make sure I got the right date so you can mark it. Will be a very special day for our radio show. That day we will mark our 400th radio show. 400th. And I mean, that's a lot of radio shows. We're in our 8th year. Is that the right date, Dawn? Can you find it?
It would be the 16th.
The next Sunday.
The 23rd.
Okay. Whatever that date is, that's it. That Sunday right before Thanksgiving. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanksgiving is the 27th. Right. So the Sunday right before is our 400th show, and it's going to be a great one. We're going to have a lot of our radio team on, and it's really going to be fantastic. So we're excited about that and about what God is going to be doing at that time and celebrating this wonderful, wonderful time together, which has been going on for quite a while now, so it's pretty exciting. I've got one of my guests on the line, right?
Yes, you do. This is Betty Thomas calling you from Indiana.
Hey, Betty, I was just talking away and saw that little light flashing. So we had some phone issues early on here today, but we've got it. We're glad that you called in. You're able to be on the line. Can you believe that, Betty? 400 shows.
I tell you, God is good, isn't he?
Isn't he? Wow.
You know, he has blessed us with the ministry, and being able to hear you every Sunday has been a blessing to me, being, you know, several hundred miles away.
Right.
It can just, it's just, it's a blessing to be able to have those shows, and 400 of them.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I can't believe it. I mean, I can believe it because that's how God does it.
Right. Yeah, it is amazing. And you may remember, clear back, when I first met you, which was at my church I was pastoring in Indiana, and you and your family came in the late 80s, and we had a radio show then. Do you remember that?
Yes, on it was out of Muncie.
WERK and the one in Anderson, whatever that was. Yeah, I can't remember, every Sunday morning at 9 and 9:30, those were only 30-minute shows, and I would record those in advance since I was at church at that time on Sunday morning. I recorded those in the studio in advance, and that was on those great big reel-to-reel tapes, those big, huge things, and then I would hand-deliver that tape to another radio station. They'd play it, so it was twice on Sunday mornings, 9 and 9:30, so that was a long time ago, and boy, technology has changed drastically, Betty. And it's so nice that you can just call in from where you are and be on the show. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I tell you, modern technology, you know, when it works, it's fantastic. When it doesn't work, it's like, here, we're down here at the ranch, our internet's down.
Oh, it is.
And so when you depend on, you know, the internet, you know, for the Bible, because I can switch, you know, I can switch through it really quickly when you change
translations.
When the Lord changes the direction,
yeah,
and translations and so forth. And I can't do that today. I'm stuck in one version. So
wow,
it's
you mean you're
it's
using your actual Bible, right? You're
not... yeah. If you hear paper flipping, it's because I have no internet for my Bible app. So it's going to be a good show.
It's going to be a great show. Well, it's a great show. We're glad you're calling in from the ranch in Connersville, Florida, with all the horses and cows and sheep and goats and all that stuff y'all have.
Yeah, we have frogs. We have a lot of frogs, too.
Yeah,
and,
sounds good.
We have a couple of bats, so it's...
Oh, there you go.
It's all good. It's
there
all
you go.
Good.
It's a great topic today, Betty. My sheep hear my voice, speaking of sheep. But we want to start the show today with a song that is one of my favorites. And every time I say this, then I think, oh, wow, I've got so many favorites, it's ridiculous. But this one really is. It's by CeCe Winans. His Strength is Perfect. And I just love this song because it reminds us that in our own strength, we can't so often figure out the best plan for our lives. But God can through His strength. Here we go.
He'll carry us.
Praise God. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Praise God. And he does, and he has so many times, Betty. It just seems like he's always picking me up, you know?
You know, that's what a father does.
Amen.
When his kids are down and out.
Yes.
And that's when he carries us. And it's amazing to me that, you know, he knows when each one of us has an issue or a problem, and, you know, he's right there, just the mention of his name, and he's right there with us.
Oh, my, you just gave me a perfect segue into John chapter 10, and you didn't even know it. So let's go there. Let's go there. And I'm in the Message Bible. I'm going to start off in the Message Bible. But before I do, and this is John chapter 10, verse 1, before I do, I want to read the first little phrase there in King James that I've written in my Bible a long time ago. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." I don't know how many times he says that all through the New Testament in King James. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." It means that with complete authority, I say this to you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the truth here. You better be listening. Okay? And that's what it's all about. So let's read it in the Message Bible. It starts with chapter 10 of John, verse 1. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. This is Jesus talking. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. I want to stop right there and kind of give you a little background of what these sheep pens looked like at this time in the eastern countries. They were little buildings, and they had a big, like a patio, I guess, around. And it was a short little fence. I would imagine less than 4 feet tall, 4 or 5 feet tall. It wasn't very tall at all. And on this fence, there were thorns, so that if the sheep tried to get out, they were going to get stuck, and it was going to hurt. Or if somebody tried to get in, they would get hurt, okay? So the whole idea of the thorns on top of the fence was to keep the bad guys out and the good guys in, and the good guys were the sheep. And the bad guys were the sheep rustlers, those who wanted to, you know, steal the sheep. Another interesting thing about these shepherds at this time is that they named every sheep. Did you know that, Betty?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that a cool fact?
Yes, it is. And, you know, even in today's farmers or today's ranchers,
right,
that they may not have a name, but they have a number. So
okay,
that the farmer can identify them, because they actually keep a record, whether it be, you know, computer or handwritten.
Right.
That each one of their cattle or their sheep are numbered so that they know who they are. And if they would get out, they would know who they belong to.
Exactly. I've seen that in Indiana with those big numbers hanging on cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And yes, ma'am.
Now, your horses all have a name.
Yes.
Your horses,
yes,
don't have a number, do they?
No, they have, all of my animals have a name.
Okay. Some of those names are kind of cool, too. You got some interesting
names.
Yeah,
they are. They are really, they meet the personality of the animal pretty well. My horse, for example, you know, her registered name is Pocahontas.
Right. Okay.
But her nickname is Pokey.
Oh, and, well, there that goes along with it.
And,
yeah.
And that tells you a little bit about the horse, that she's not, you know, the fastest horse on the ranch.
There you go. And how about, go ahead.
They know my voice.
Uh-huh. That's it. They know your voice, because I've been there at the ranch, and I've seen you with those horses and your daughter, Megan, and I've seen them walk over to the fence with you, and you talk to them, and they put their nose down to you, so you'll pet them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's an awesome relationship that I have with my animals.
Cool.
And that makes it even more awesome that my Heavenly Father knows my voice, too.
Ooh. You know, it says in Isaiah 43 that he knows each one of us by name.
Amen.
You know, in the billions of people that are around the planet right now, and all the ones that have come before us, it is amazing, isn't it, that the Father God knows every one of us, and he knows our personality, he knows our quirks, he knows the craziness about Betty Thomas up there in Connersville, Indiana, and what makes you tick. And how absolutely, you know, funny you are and all that stuff that you are. He knows the personality he put within you, doesn't he?
Yes, because I believe that the Lord Jesus has a sense of humor.
Yes.
Because he made you and he made me.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Well, but you do. You have a very good sense of humor. You know what? That makes us unique.
It makes us, yeah, it's fun. Yeah. You know, and he loves us all so much, even though some of us are so different from each other, you know? You know, I've said this, you have one daughter, but I have three children, and it always has amazed me that these three children come from the same two parents. And I know that's a fact, since I'm the mother, that it's the same two parents. And they are so drastically different, Betty. You know all three of my kids, and you know how different they are, aren't they?
Oh, yes. They're as from your youngest to your oldest. you know, Mark is different than Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan is different from Mark.
Right.
And, you know, then you have poor little Lori in the middle.
Yeah.
Again, that's what makes us unique, is that I think that's the way you can tell us apart.
Right.
Because if I was like you, I don't know if the world would be able to handle it.
No, they wouldn't. No,
like
no,
you.
No.
Now, if you were like me, he'd go, no way.
But I think it's so cool that the shepherds back then named every single sheep, and that God knows our names now, which reminds me of that first person that Jesus talked to after he was resurrected from the dead, and it was Mary Magdalene, and he called her by name, and he said, Mary, Mary. And when she heard her name called, she immediately realized this was Jesus she was talking to, not the gardener. I love that truth from John chapter 20. You know what I'm talking about, that story?
Oh, yes, because she was such a devoted person to him,
yes,
and his teachings.
Amen.
And when you have that much love and that much faith and that much trust in an individual, if they were to leave and they were to come back and to be resurrected as Jesus did, you would know their voice.
Boy, you'd know their voice.
As soon as they opened their mouth, you would know it was them.
And Betty, that's what this series is all about. I've got a real drive within me, and have had for the last few months, for people to really hear God clearly. I believe there's so many voices that try to interfere with the communication between God the Father and us. I think there's so many distractions. I've taught on that many times about the distractions that come into our lives. It can be things like an addiction, or it can be things like you know, being beat down by a spouse or, you know, a partner or somebody that is constantly filling your head with how awful you are, or how no good you are, or all of that kind of stuff. And so I have a real desire down on the inside of me to teach people how to hear the voice of God clearly and not get so confused about Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Well, no, no, I won't. Let me go over here. No. I know that wasn't God. Well, that what? And it's a pet peeve of mine, I guess, to hear people say God told me this, and the next day God's changed his mind. And I used to say to somebody very close to me, really? Does God change his mind that much? Because if he does, I don't know about this. And that person would say, what? Do you know what I'm saying, Betty?
Yeah, the only time I can recollect that God ever changed his mind was with Hezekiah. And that's
true.
In the Old Testament.
That's right.
And is that we have to be able to disseminate the voice that we hear.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, and as you said, many years ago about learning God's nature.
Yes.
Learning how he directs us and how he guides us. And it's a learning tool for a lot of us to be able to know and hear God's voice. But it's through the Holy Spirit that we can really depend upon to hear. I mean, actually, we can see it verbally in his word. We can
right.
hear it through our prayer. We'll probably talk about that, here in the next few minutes. But we've just got to understand that sometimes we are too busy to hear God. I mean, he could probably have a megaphone to me going, hey, are you listening to me? And most of the time I do hear him, but then there are times where I rush out and I do what I think he wants me to do. And then I run into a dead end.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Where I can't go any further, and it's like, oh man, I should have taken some time and instead of rushed into it, I should have listened to you, Lord.
And I think that's the point that we want to make, one of the many points we want to make today, that Satan rushes and God leads. How many times have you heard me preach that concept, Betty, through the years?
That's one of the things that I can remember most from you is that God leads and Satan rushes. And, I can't tell you how many times, Pastor, that I've applied that to my own life because I want to do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
I really do want to follow his path that he directs. And if I don't, I always end up in a quandary. I always
Amen.
End up in a, today's word, mess.
Mess.
I can be a hot mess sometimes. And it's just, it's unimaginable what can happen when we don't listen to what God has to say.
Oh, amen. So let's go back to these verses at the beginning of John 10 and pick up right where we left off. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him and the sheep recognize his voice. So point number one, if you're taking notes today, write this down. You can hear the voice of God correctly. And it comes right here from Jesus' own words in John 10. And since this is a Message Bible, I can't tell you exactly what verse that is, but I'm guessing it's about verse 3, maybe. You can hear his voice. They recognize his voice. So if the devil says to you, well, no, you're always going to walk around in confusion. You can't be sure that's God. See, the devil does not want you to think you can hear from God. Okay, and if you take notes, write that down. The devil does not want you to think that you can hear from God. He wants you to think that life is just one big confused mess and that some days you get it right, other days you get it wrong. Some days you hear from God, other days you don't. And that is wrong. Let's look at John 10, right here where we are. Here it is, Jesus' own words. He calls his own by name and leads them out. They recognize his voice. So the next point here is, I don't know what point I'm on now, maybe 3. They are led, we sheep are led by the Spirit of God who is within us. We're led by him. I have been living in Psalm 23, Betty. I've been talking to you about that. Just hang on a minute. I think we've got Carol on the line, do we?
Yes.
Fantastic. And the reason I'm asking that, Carol, is because we've got the phone lines a little changed a minute. Whoa. Did we just lose you, Betty? Hang on. Let's call Betty back, somebody, and we'll get her back. I don't know what's going on here, what happened, but we just lost her. So we'll get Betty back in a minute. So we've had some phone line issues here today, Carol, but how important it is to remember that God does want us to hear his voice, don't you think, Carol?
Definitely wants us to hear his voice. That's why he's created us, so that we would be in communion with him.
Go ahead.
So that we'll be in communion with him, and that we will be able to be the servants on earth that he chooses for us to be.
Are you there, Carol? Hang on.
Betty.
Okay. I guess we're having trouble here with both lines. Hang on just a minute, Betty. Is that Big Ed on the thing, or is that no? Okay. That was Betty. All right. For some reason, we are just, it's just bouncing between the two of you, and I don't know why. So tell Betty we'll get back with her in just a few minutes. Betty, I'm on with you?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, let's have Carol call back in, and then Betty, I'll get back with you in a minute. We will try to keep both of you in a minute, okay? Okay, Carol, we got you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, don't know what's going on with the phones today. We're having some issues. We've had two on before, and now right now we're having trouble with that. So anyway, we'll get back to Betty here in a little while. We may have to go back and forth between you, and if so, that's okay. We can do that. But go ahead with the point that you were making.
Well, the point that I'm making is that we are the sheep of his pastures, which is the earth, and everything in it is his. If it breathes life in any way, if it turns green, if it turns yellow, pink, or purple in the seasonings of the year, everything on this earth is directed and guided by Jesus Christ.
Exactly. I know. And it is. And we just have to learn to follow that leading all the time, you know? And
indeed,
not... So. Exactly. Exactly. Let's try this. Now, Betty, can you hear me? No. Okay.
You know, when you refer to Psalms 32:7, it says, "You're my hiding place. You protect me from my troubles."
Right.
"And fill me with songs of salvation." The Lord says, "I will make you wise and show you where to go. I will guide you and watch over you." So don't be like a horse or a donkey that doesn't understand.
Exactly. We've got to be so in tune with his voice that we're not like a horse or a donkey. And that can be our human nature that comes through and says, "Well, I want to do it this way. I want to make sure that I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it." And that's human nature, you know? That's what we want so often.
Well, it's all about yielding. You have to yield.
Yes.
To be in service to Jesus Christ. You have to put yourself aside and be in service to Jesus Christ. However he calls you to do it, whatever he calls you to do, whenever he calls you to do it. First comes a recognition of who he is, and second comes commission of what he wants you to do, and your level of commitment.
Exactly. I know it. And it has everything to do with what we choose to walk in, whether or not we choose to walk in his wisdom and his direction and his leading, or whether or not we are just out there doing our own thing. I know these sheep that are described by Jesus in John chapter 10. It says that they hear his voice. He calls them by name. And when he gets them out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice.
They are. And, having been around critters all my life, we need to understand things about sheep that are different from other animals. They're entirely different. It doesn't matter the type of sheep, but sheep are entirely different from other animals. And they don't always mix well in a herd.
Right.
Because they're a little bit hard-headed.
Right.
And they're also frightened. So sheep need full-time supervision. Somebody's got to watch over them. Henceforth, the shepherd.
Right.
We can relate the word sheep to human beings. Humans need full-time supervision.
Yeah, they do.
especially when you're a tiny infant or a growing child in your early years, and then certainly teens need it. preteens. Right. And as we begin to age out, we all need full-time supervision. If you get to be my age and you're becoming more and more infirmed, and in some people's cases they are completely debilitated, they need supervision.
Exactly.
And to get them where they need to go and to do what they need to do.
But, you know, even in the prime of our lives, when we are juggling careers, families, some of our listeners out there may be doing that very thing. They're juggling two or three things at once. You know, they're trying to keep up with their workload and maybe even do more than is required at work so that they get some kind of an advancement, whatever. Then they come home, and if it's a mother, you're cooking meals and you're bathing kids and you're getting kids in bed, and you got all this stuff going on. And yet there's got to be that time where you're communing with your Heavenly Father through your day, during your day, that this is why we need to hear His voice, because there's so many issues that come up during the day, even for a busy mother like I just described there. There's all kinds of situations that can come up that we need God's direction on how to, say, respond in a given moment, you know?
I think we also need to recognize that so many children today throughout the United States, and I'm just saying the United States because that's where we are, it's certainly around the world, are being reared by grandparents in wartime situations in other parts of the world, as it's so bad right now.
True.
They're being reared by extended family. Some children no longer have a family.
Right.
When you start talking things like Ebola and malaria and all and wars, some children have no family. So somebody, some adult steps forward and takes that child under their wing. We're fortunate. We have a father.
Right.
Our earthly father may be gone.
Right.
But we have a father who knows that we need supervision and direction. You know, sheep don't like to drink from running water because it scares them.
Right.
So a sheep is happy if you put a bucket of water down in front of him. But what do we in our lives liken water to be? It's the living water of Jesus
Christ. Amen. Yes, it is.
If we run from that like a sheep would, run scared because you've got a river going past, and we call that living water, we wouldn't drink from it if we were scared.
Right.
We have to come to an agreement within ourselves, and maybe with pastoral guidance or spiritual guidance from whomever we look to for that, that we don't run from Him. We don't need to be afraid from Him. He guides us. He loves us. He protects us.
Amen.
He only wants the best for us in any and every situation.
Absolutely. He does. And that is an excellent point, and it's all about His nature. And we were teaching this Friday night at our Friday night Bible study called The Gathering, and we were talking about the fact that God's nature is critical to learning to trust His voice. When we know that God sincerely loves us and that He is a good God and only wants what's best for us, then it becomes easier to trust the voice that we are hearing and the direction and the leading, because we know that God is not going to lead us down a wrong path. It's just like a shepherd who loves his sheep. He's going to lead them to a place that's good for him. For them. I was just mentioning before we had the phone mix up here about Psalm 23, where I've been living in that for the last actually few months. And Psalm 23, it talks about Jesus, or David wrote, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack anything. He leads me beside still waters. He takes me to those quiet green pastures and still waters." And that's called peace, Carol. That's where we need to learn to hang out, by the quiet waters and the green pastures. You know what I mean?
I certainly do. And sheep, as well as other herd animals, know that. And look at all the animals that trust human beings.
Right.
With a blind trust, because they know the voice of the master.
Right.
You take a police dog, for instance, or a military dog. You cannot, as a bystander, get that dog to respond to any command you give it. But the very instant its master gives that command, the dog is running to perform the task.
Boy, isn't that true? Because that dog knows the voice of the master, right?
So they are trained with different people so that they realize the one voice they must obey is their master's voice.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to learn to do. Having reared goats on my farm and many other animals, I can tell you right now, let a stranger, and there were often people at my farm trying to purchase animals for their children, FFA, FHA, whatever it could have been, 4-H, and they would come up, and the first thing that they would do, even though I'm walking towards them, the first thing they would do is the kids would run to the goats, and the people, typically the lead individual out of the car, would be the first one there, and they're whistling and trying to get the goat's attention, which only drives them further away.
Right.
They're not going to come up and, you know, it's like lambs coming to slaughter.
Right.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So all I had to do was just say, come on, girls, and here they would come.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing. If I hear the voice of the devil speaking to me, God forbid, but if I were, and I responded, I have responded to the wrong voice.
Exactly.
Not the voice that has taught me.
Right.
Not the voice that has shown me. Not the voice that has loved me. But when I hear Jesus or the Holy Spirit, as I have many times, speak words of wisdom to me, I drop what I'm doing and I stand and I sit silent.
Well, we want to hear what he has to say to us because he is going to lead us in the right direction. We can trust that because he's a good God. And some of you out there taking notes need to make that another point. God is good. We mentioned this verse Friday night, and I want to bring it back today. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. And that goes right along with this John 10 passage. God knows us if we trust him. If we listen to his voice, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. So if his nature is good, he has a plan for you that is going to lead you to the right job, the right significant other in your life, the right circle of friends, the right fellowship of believers, whatever it might be. God has a plan and he is good. And that's what it's all about. Those sheep learn to really trust their shepherd, don't they, Carol?
Yes, they do, because he won't lead you any place that is dangerous. You know, I have this wonderful little book, and it was given to me by someone in Georgia, and it says, All We Like Sheep. And
right.
It's a little spiritual book. And it's all talking about how we are all like sheep. And I had written a sermon based on how we are like sheep, based on my experiences with the animals on my farm before I ever was given this little book. And it really just kind of brings everything to home, following the scriptures that say he leads his sheep. 23rd Psalm is classic.
Right.
He wants us to lie beside the still waters and the green pastures and so forth. And that is serenity.
Right.
That is, you know, the green pastures and the quietness is all about serenity, which means we must take some point of our 24 hours and sit silent and serene.
Amen.
And listen to his voice.
Very important.
He speaks to us. And we have to keep by the living water, the words of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the blessings of Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't die so we could all act like crazy people and run around and do ridiculous things.
Right.
He died so we didn't have to die spiritually.
Right. Amen.
Forever and always live with him. When we leave this earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ.
Amen.
And I long for the day, even though I would hate to leave the earth because I have so many people that I care about and animals that I care about. But I know when I leave here, I am going to be met at the peaceful place of living water.
Amen.
There will be a hand that reaches out and helps me cross over.
Right.
And I will cross that river singing songs of hallelujah. And while nobody on earth wants me to sing, not a singer, I will be given a voice that I can sing praises
Amen.
And songs to my Jesus Christ, who was living within me forever and always.
Well, you just brought up a great point, because the goal is eternity. The goal is to be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, to be in his presence and to be reunited with those that we love that have gone on before us, and those Bible heroes. There's some of them, boy, I can't wait to look up. I want to meet David, and I want to meet, there's quite a few of them, but some of them are just really close to my heart that I want to meet. And when we think about the fact that we're going to be spending eternity, which means forever, there's no beginning, no end, it makes us want to make sure we're living our lives here on this earth in such a way that eternity is a reality for us, right? Because we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Can you imagine not knowing Jesus, not believing, becoming agnostic, becoming an atheist, becoming whatever it is that is the direct opposite of the peaceful, serene Jesus Christ that we know?
Right.
The living opposite of that. And when you leave this earth, you, whether by your own hand or poisoning or in whatever your circumstances as to why you leave the earth, and you go to some place that does not house Jesus. I cannot imagine even the worst situation here on earth, you know, the flooding and the disasters and the volcanoes and the killing and killing and killing and the wars that go on throughout the world. I feel like in my heart, that's what that other place will be like. There will be no peace. There will be no running water of Jesus saying, calm down, it's okay, I've got this under control. I feel like a person there will be forever a vagabond, going from place to place, always seeking what they could have had when they lived here.
Well, praise God, we're going to heaven. We're going to that eternal place.
And true.
You know, Carol, I picked this.
And if I have a friend that I feel like, or someone I may not even really know, but people call me, people come up to me and ask me questions about Scripture and about God, I don't want to leave them until I make sure that they understand the what he's all about. I don't tell them to make the choice. I tell them what he is. I refer them. I hand them. I used to carry little Bibles, and I still carry bigger ones. This is probably kind of silly, but I get Bibles at Salvation Army, Goodwill, and places because there's an abundance of them, and you just pay $1 or $2.
Right.
And I've often carried those in my car. When somebody came up to me or I saw somebody in distress, I take the Bible out and I show them peace and comfort in Scripture. And then as I leave them, I say, you can have this. And they said, I can have it. Well, yes, that's why it's here. It's for me to give to you and you to give to someone else and someone else and someone else and someone else.
Amen.
You know, when I was going to Emory with breast cancer, Maxine and I took, every single time I had to be there, we took information from Scripture. We have placed Bibles all over the place over there.
Amen. That's the way to do it.
I don't really think of myself as an evangelist in a lot of ways, but when you give the Word of God to other people, however you present it, as long as it's a positive presentation, you become an evangelist.
Amen. Amen.
In the truest sense of the word.
Exactly. We are due to hear a song right now, Carol, and I picked this one today because I know it is one of your favorite songs. His Eye is on the Sparrow by the group Sela, and he cares about every single one of us.
Amen.
Do I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely? In love for heaven. Jesus is my portion, a constant friend. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Yeah, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. So I sing because I sing because
reminded of that once again in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
You know,
why
did God
compare us to sheep?
Yeah.
Because sheep are needy.
Yeah. We're needy, all right.
And, you know, on their own time, sheep get into trouble.
Exactly.
And sheep get weighted down. Look at the fur. You know, their fur is there for a reason. Their hair. It is a beautiful thing when you really stop and look at the production of the wool on a sheep. But if they don't get shaved, if they don't get all that off after end of a season, they can drown because they become so heavy laden with their wool, and if they ford streams and things to get across, they can become heavy laden and sink and die.
Right.
God wants them to be able to be spiffy doo wah, just like He
spiffy
wants us
doo-wah.
To be spiffy doo wah, and to take our burdens away from us.
Amen.
So we don't get burdened down with them and fall under the helping hand of the devil there.
Exactly.
To lead us astray.
Well, and that sentence you just said is the segue into John 10, verse 10. One of the greatest verses in the Bible spoken by Jesus, and it's one that everybody needs to commit to memory. And it says this, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. The Amplified Bible says, I came to give you life and give it to you till it overflows, till it's just more than you can hardly contain. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11 talks about tithing, and it says that when you give, God opens the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing so big you can hardly contain it. And this is what Jesus promises to the sheep that will listen to his voice. And he says here in John 10, verse 10, the thief is only coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to take your peace. He comes to take your confidence. He comes to condemn you, to tell you that you've messed up so nobody ever is going to really care about you. God doesn't really love you. God's mad at you. The thief comes to lie to you. He is a liar, and Jesus said it in John chapter 8, that the devil is a liar and the father of lies.
You know, in chapter 10 of John, in verse 11, it says, I'm the good shepherd. The
right.
good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep.
Right.
But when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away.
Exactly.
The man runs away because he's a hired hand and doesn't care for the sheep. Well, you know, sometimes you have to stop and realize that there are hired hands in this world who pretend to be doing the work of Jesus.
Right.
And when the flock is attacked, or an individual in the flock is attacked, that person who is not really there as a shepherd takes off and flees. They take off with the... I've never seen one take off poor. I've never seen one take off. Their
pants, a lot of them, yeah,
them,
a lot of them.
On the floor and run. It's usually they take as much as they can, these scallywags, and they run with as much as they can.
Right, scallywags.
Continually, not only, not counting the people's hearts and the people's souls that they've
sure.
stolen away.
Right, exactly, because the devil always works in people, and we see it in churches, and we have forever, that where there's power struggles. And so many get involved in churches because they want power, they want authority, whatever. And as a result of that, a lot of times when whatever they're doing behind the scenes to cause all kinds of chaos, when it comes to a head, a lot of people are hurt by it. And that's very unfortunate. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that sheep rustler, the person who's not really the good shepherd. That is precisely why it is so important to know the difference between God's voice and religious voices. And
people who are just scallywags, they enter into the position of pastor or evangelist or whatever they call themselves in these little out branches in some of these very big denominations where they've reached to the point of high and mighty, and you just whisper their name in the wind and everybody knows who you're talking about.
Right.
Jesus knows that they are sheep in, or wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right.
And when it's time, when it's appropriate, he brings that all down, and they fall down, and they have to run away, and they have to grovel in the ditches of self-pity, sorrow, and murderous attitudes before they can realize that and get up and say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'd like to start
right
again. Well, you know, God forgives, but people don't.
Yeah, well, they should.
They have very little forgiveness power.
Yeah.
Because they don't choose to exercise them.
Exactly.
And they always think that somebody's doing something subversive.
Well,
but if a person's doing something subversive, pretty soon the whole world is going to know it. It may take 20 years for it to be resolved and brought out. I could sit right now and think off the top of my silver hair the number of pastors from major, major, major churches and denominations that have fallen. That have fallen.
Right.
Simply because they were not the sheep protectors they should have been.
Right, sure.
Now, I want you to think about this for a second. You know that a shepherd carries a staff, and it's an upside-down J. And I have given a sermon about this because I use a cane. And sometimes when I'm really, really troubled about dealing with something, I turn my cane upside down, and it becomes a J.
Right.
And that's what shepherds have. When they are really out there doing the Lord's work and keeping their staff and guarding the sheep in a pasture of green, pretty grass and nice water, and the wolf comes running to come in, that shepherd will then turn that hook so he can pull the sheep back.
Right, exactly. And he uses it to pull them in, and that's what God does. He uses the Jesus and the words of Jesus to pull us right back to him. You know, when we're all lost and we don't know what to do, we open our Bible. I was talking about this the other night, how important it is to get in the Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you see that it's mostly red letter, because Jesus, his words, his actual words were recorded. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so important to really understand what Jesus was saying and to get it down on the inside of us. You know, his words are the most important words there are. So.
That's right. Nothing you will ever read, I don't care what novel it is, what piece of fiction it is, what biography, autobiography you will ever read, is any more important, never will change your life in a definitive way like the words of Jesus Christ found in Scripture.
Right, exactly.
You know, he had people set even at the time long before any of us were even a twinkle in anybody's eye. He had those biblical people living out biblical principles, teaching biblical principles, so that it would all be a gift to us, compulated by all these different characters in the Scripture that lived during the time he walked the face of this earth. that knew him personally, that knew of his wants and desires for every person, watched him go raise the dead, Lazarus, watched him take care of the woman at the well. Those are things that are put in Scripture to teach us a lesson: empathy, compassion, love and understanding,
Amen.
Forgiveness, and the desire to always keep his words to the forefront of everybody we meet.
Amen. Woo! All right,
Betsy,
we're coming.
We were just talking about this a few minutes ago, and I kind of had a reminiscing moment. I said, oh my gosh, I said, I hadn't thought about this in a long time. I said, but look at the ministry that God gave us through us being at Emory with me all the time.
Right.
We didn't,
exactly.
as women, take hope over there to those people that were less fortunate, that we would not see the next time because they had passed away,
right.
that we would not see continue to dwindle from the vibrant human they were into the skeleton they became.
Right.
If we had not first known him.
Amen. And you did.
He
and
had
you
not sent us.
And you gave the life of Jesus, the love of God to those people. And that's what it's all about, hearing God's voice within us. And just really following God's direction as he opens doors of opportunity for us. We're doing that now in this new season of Beacon of Hope. Carol, because we're having phone trouble, I guess they got to get Bright House out here tomorrow. But because we're having phone trouble, I'm going to do the station ID here in a minute. And then Betty's going to call in. And then I'll you can be listening if you will, and then I'll tell you when to call back in here in a little while. We'll just have to take turns. So we'll have to do it that way today because...
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we let Betty go ahead and finish the hour out?
Okay, that's fine.
You know, I think that would be a wise thing to do.
Okay, that's fine. No problem at all.
You know, I've said my piece.
Okay.
What God has given me to say. I've said it. We've discussed it. We've talked about it.
Okay.
And now, you know, for the listening audience, they get another perspective.
Okay. That sounds good, Carol. We always love having you on the air, and you'll be on again in a few weeks. So we're sorry for the problems today. They just had this when we walked in. We had some issues going on. So
happens every time. You know, it happens all over the world in every single thing. So.
Well, sure. It's just part of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just part of technology. So,
exactly.
Give Betty my blessings. And
okay.
The two of you enjoy and get the word out there. People need to hear it.
All right. That sounds great. And we're coming up on station ID. Thank you, Carol. God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Same to you. Bye-bye.